Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I would like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, how you doing over there?
Well, I'm thinking it's like feels like Halloween's going to be tomorrow.
Yeah, it is. I mean, all the fun stuff is happening. I mean, I saw people's pictures out at the Middleton Festival there. Shout out to what they've been able to put together and do out there. A lot of smiles coming out of there. So, yeah, it is. It does feel like Halloween early this year. So, we are in the midst of a continual crazy real estate market. So we always like to, before we jump into the specifics, get into our crazy celebrity real estate story. And today we're going to be talking a lot about property management, rentals, that side of real estate. So I thought, why not, in continuing that theme, start off with our crazy celebrity rental that we have, and that is from Wheel of Fortune's co-host Vanna White, with the headline, she'd like a tea for Tenant McKay. You see what I did there?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. just making sure. But not like we're used to. Vanna has an amazing modern house in California, and of course, she had purchased this place in 2013, spruced it up. It's been featured in Architectural Digest.
Ooh.
Gorgeous, gorgeous looking modern. But unlike the rentals that we manage here in Tri-Cities, this one, they are asking $20,000 a month.
Wow.
Now, this is in Sherman Oaks, so the location there is a little bit sought after. But you're only going to get a four-bedroom, four-bath modern estate home for $20,000 a month. Now, I would like to manage that rental, McKay. I think that would be just a great commission to have. So that is our crazy celebrity story of the week. So what are we talking about today? Well, I am super excited because we have in studio with us our very own Kenmore Team Property Management, Brett Patrick, Business Development Officer with Kenmore Team Property Management. Brett, welcome to the show.
Yes.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so Brett, there's a couple things that we wanted to do today. Number one is I think when I look out in the market, I hear so often that, you know, my kids are never going to be able to afford a house. Or I'll hear people say under 30 be like, I don't know how I'm ever going to afford a house or what that's going to look like. And now, you know, there's a lot of negative press out there and interest rates last week. I mean, it's just reality of the market, but interest rates last week on 30-year mortgages basically hit 8%, which a lot of people don't think is a lot of fun. Now, it was also interesting at the same time that Dave Ramsey, and we're an endorsed ELP here in Tri-Cities, and so we handle a lot of Dave Ramsey clients, but Dave Ramsey already also came out with an article that said to home buyers, now's a great time to buy if you've gotten your house in order, per se, financially, don't have a lot of credit card interest, don't have a lot of high interest payments. There's no problem with buying right now. So as I was kind of weighing those options, I always think it's great to have a wonderful example of what that might look like. And I think what we run into in the market a lot of the time is people that want to skip a lot of steps. Or yeah. I think they're thinking a little too far ahead. So, for instance, they'll see a beautiful house that is, you know, I'm just going to give an example here on 5 acres and a newer house build, and it's $600,000. If they can't get that house, they're saying, I can't buy a house. So I looked around the office and I said, you know what? We teach and practice and coach these concepts with our employees and with our agents and people in the company. And then I thought about that Dave Ramsey article and I said, you know, I'm going to bring a success story, not only somebody to talk to us about property management, mm-hmm. but a success story for first time home buyers to talk to and bring on to question. And lo and behold, I've got Brett Patrick on here. So we're going to grill Brett a little bit because, Brett, if I'm not mistaken, well, first of all, why don't you tell the listeners what you do for Kenmore Team?
Yeah, so I am the business development manager on our property management division. So I am in charge of speaking with owners when they want to rent their property out. They want to know how much it can rent for, you know, and what they need to do to their property to get it rented, kind of negotiate all of that, onboard them to our property management division, and help them get the process started to get their property rented and managed professionally.
Okay, so now, Brett, I'm going to ask you some questions. And this is not a... this is not a bragging question, but I think for people listening to know, first of all, how old are you today?
I'm 28 years
old. Jeez Louise. Guy, you're killing me over here. Okay. You're 28 years old, and describe to me the house that you just bought. Give me the spec.
It's similar to the one you just described. It's on 5 acres in Benton City. It was built in 2019.
2019. Nice.
Stick built, not a manufactured home.
Stick built.
Yep. 2,000 square feet, 4 bedroom, ooh, 2 bath, 3-car garage.
3-car garage. So you got on acreage, you've got irrigation, mm-hmm. you've got, by all accounts and purposes, a very, very nice house that people would say, I don't know if my kids are ever going to be able to purchase that house. Now this is where we ended up. And I think the problem mm-hmm. that we see with a lot of people is that is the process that they're looking at. And yeah. So a very, very nice home that you were able to just move into. But we need to go backwards, Brett. Mm-hmm. Do we go back 5 years in the process?
About 5 years, yeah.
Okay, about 5 years in the process when you were living at home or renting? I don't even remember.
I was renting with three other roommates.
Okay, so five years ago, you're renting with three other roommates, mm-hmm. and you decide to do what?
Well, I had been working in real estate for a couple of years, and I was like, purchasing a home was something that I really wanted to do.
Yep. And you were killing it. You were making a couple hundred thousand a year. No. Just starting out in real estate. No. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Just starting out. I was the assistant at the time for 5 agents.
Okay. Yep.
So making the big bucks being an assistant for 5 agents.
Yeah. No. Lucky if you made 25 grand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. And you decide to purchase a house. So tell me about the first house you purchased.
Well, yeah. So first this was a year before then, back it up even farther. I talked to a lender and he's like, if you want to purchase a house, this is what you need to do. So there's a few things. I had a little bit of credit card debt, not anything crazy. I think I had like $3,000 or $4,000 at the time that I needed to pay off. So I worked on that for a year, got that all paid off. And then, yeah, we started. My budget at the time was a hard cap, $150,000.
Yeah. Your very first, okay.
Yep, and we went and looked at a couple in my price range. They were super fun, huh?
We did. We went to a couple, like we were on the lookout every single day.
Yeah, so the first house I ended up buying was a whole 600 square feet built in 1944 on Perkins Ave in Richland.
Yeah, you did, and I mean, we looked at probably... you know, online, we had probably looked at, 80 to 100, just keeping the alerts going.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, a lot in that price range, even at that time, where it was, like, cash only, because that's some major defect.
Yep.
That you couldn't get financing with.
So you leave your roommate situation, and you move into a house that's 609 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
And was it in perfect condition?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Gotcha. Just checking.
I didn't even. Okay. I closed on the property and had to continually live with my roommates for about a month and a half because it had, I had to rip out the carpets. The tenant who lived in that property previously was a rental, had smoked in it and had a cat. So it smelled like cigarettes and cat pee. Not even kidding. Like, yep. So I ripped, like, I had to gut the carpet and ended up gutting the kitchen just because it was small and I was already doing it. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I will, and so you were able to make improvements to the house. Mm-hmm. Along the way. Mm-hmm. Now, and there was no garage, right?
No garage. No had garage. A little shed.
Okay.
Yeah, a little shed. Nothing crazy.
So you're parking outside.
Yep.
You got a house though, and you start working on this thing.
Yep.
And so like you said, now, I mean, you said you did the kitchen and you tore a bunch of carpet out, but it's 609 square feet. Like, that doesn't take you very long.
No.
No, not really.
Okay.
No, it took me, I got all the, you know, the major things done in the first, you know, couple months and then did random projects throughout the couple years that I lived there.
Okay, gotcha. And so, I mean, I saw this house, like I was integral in part of it. You and I would talk about things you would do, but you pretty much, there wasn't a surface in that house that you didn't touch.
Nope. Yeah, it was, it was mostly cosmetic, but I did, yeah. Flooring, kitchen, and I got cabinets from a house someone was remodeling for. They were solid oak for $200.
Wow.
Refinished them, put new hardware, retrofitted them to fit in my little tiny kitchen.
That's awesome.
And then
this is Dave Ramsey to the core, man.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is awesome.
And put butcher block countertops on it. Nothing fancy. Did some Subway tile backsplash. Real simple. Repainted the exterior and interior, and that was. Pretty much it.
Okay, but in the meantime, you are, sorry, you're not millennial, or are you millennial?
Like, I'm in that kind of on the edge. So 95 is kind of like what they say about the last year.
So 2 years go by. You're doing all this work. I'm super proud of you. You're doing what we say. But you know, you are millennial, so you mm-hmm. start complaining to me a little bit about not having a garage.
Yep.
and so you start to get the bug again, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so what happens next?
Yeah. Well, this is one of the privileges of working in the business. I actually had an owner that we were managing their properties for that was wanting to sell one of their properties, and it was in the neighborhood I grew up in, like a mile from my parents' house.
Oh.
And it wasn't anything fancy either. It was a 1996 Hayden in West Richland on Holly Way. So it was like on the busiest street, basically besides bombing range of,
yep,
of West Richland.
Yep, exactly, yeah.
1,100 square feet, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 2-car garage. It wasn't, anything crazy.
But to make that work, you now need some equity for
correct.
A down payment there.
Yep.
So your 609 square foot house, in the meantime, all the equity you've put in, all the work you've done yourself, mm-hmm. what does that house get listed for?
$215,000
And you had purchased for?
$155,000
Wow. Okay. So that had gone up. You know, the market had appreciated some. Plus, you've done all the sweat mm-hmm. equity. So then you get that house under contract.
Correct.
And purchase the new one for how much?
$300,000
For $300,000 Okay. So now you've moved up from $155,000 You've got equity from the sale of your place and you've purchased for $300,000
Yep.
Once again, a perfect house that needed nothing.
It was literally 100% original.
Okay.
From 1996.
But you're 96. Wow. You've gone
yeah.
from 44 to 96.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. So what do you do there?
Honestly, that house I didn't do a lot to. I did repaint the and I didn't do this time because I needed it done quickly. I had a very short time to move in, but I got it repainted by one of our property management vendors and the interior and moved in, and I didn't do anything to it until we went to sell it. We did repaint the exterior, and that I did myself because I'd done it before.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So that was it.
Yeah, and that's some good money saving there. And
wow.
then how long were you in that house?
2 years.
2 years. Okay, so here we are on the 2-year plan again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
mm-hmm.
then you get some new hobbies.
Yeah.
And you have, I'm just going to tell people because no one will believe this, but you're here to tell the truth. You have hunting pack goats.
Yes.
The people heard that, right? You have goats that you treat as pets that carry all of your hunting gear.
Correct, yes. And I was keeping still those don't believe,
McKay, this is a true story. Wow. I'm not making this up. I know most people think I'm making this up, but...
He's not.
These, and I will say, they're the coolest goats I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Okay, so now... How goats, West Richland, Hollyway, quarter acre lot. They don't fit so well there, do they?
They were at my parents' house who had 2 acres at the time.
Okay. So you decide you need room for the goats. So you find property, acreage property.
Yep.
And then is this a trade up again where you sell the smaller house?
Yeah. So and also in that meantime, I also got engaged and my fiance has a 10-year-old. So that 1,100 square foot house got really small really fast.
Yep, this happens.
So we had multiple things that we were like, okay, we want acreage to be able to have the goats at our house. We need a little bigger house. So once again, on the search.
Okay, and now that house that was 300 sells for what?
330.
330, okay. So once again, another equity move up. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself in... By all accounts and purposes, a very, very nice newer 2019, you said, irrigated 5-acre house from the age of, folks, 23 to 28. Now, mind you, we started in a 1944 fixer-upper parking out on the street. No garage. And there were some sacrifices that were made there.
100%.
I know because, you know, I have the ability in this success story to be coaching and talking to Brett along the way. But I think a lot of people that are out there would say, like, man, I don't think I can buy a $500,000 house at 28. But you've used a process of fix and flip and move equity up and fix and flip and move equity up. And even smartly... you know, the story's probably not over because smartly what you did buy was another, the house was newer, the garage, all that was nice, but you're going to do some improvements. You're going to put in a pasture. And then once again, you're not that you're thinking already about flipping, but here we are again where you're making massive improvements. There's no way that house will look like it did now when you go to sell it.
Yeah, it already doesn't.
It already does. It gets in your blood, right?
Yeah.
I just, I think it's super important. I appreciate you being so transparent in your story because I think there's a lot of 23 to 28 year olds that need to hear something like that and then talk to somebody that you didn't just show up and buy a $500,000 house. There was a very deliberate process that went here. And when it happens, how's it feel today?
Oh, great.
Like, it feels good, right? Yeah. Like, and so you put in some work there. So, well, I think that's a great stopping point for us. When we come back, I'm going to grill you a little bit more about the properties that you do manage for other people and what that looks like when we come back.
Right here on Newstalk 870. Our house in the middle of
welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking to Brett Patrick from our property management division. And the first half of the show, we just went over kind of a little bit of Dave Ramsey style success stories when people call in and they've gone through a path and worked that out. So the first half of the show, we kind of wanted to give somebody a real life story because with higher interest rates and stuff, I hear every single week, I hear so many times, I don't think my kids are ever going to be able to afford a house, or I don't know how they're going to do this.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to give folks a real life example of how someone did that. And everybody's path is a little bit different, but this is a very deliberate 5-year plan that took somebody from $155,000 house to, you know, almost a $500,000 house. And the hard part is the perspective you have when you buy that 155 to 175, you have to really be thinking longer term, how you're going to fix it up, what resale looks like. So there's steps that go into this. Our buyer's agents are really, really good at this with the Kenmore team. We can help people put together similar plans that make this happen for people in any market in that situation. Before we go on to talk a little bit more about property management, though, you know I always like to get a pick three in.
Yes.
And on our property management theme that we're going with this week, I've got a pick three on the rental side, just to give you an indication of properties we have for rent if you're looking for a rental. 1074 Klickitat, I've got a three-bed, two-bath, 2,682 square feet, three-car garage with an office, gas fireplace in the living room, fully fenced backyard, laundry room, built-in sink, vault is it. This is a very nice home coming on the market for rent at $3,095 a month. Pick number two, I've got 4203 Duroc in Pasco. Mm-hmm. This is a three-bed, two-bath, 1,382 square feet, two-car garage, fully fenced backyard, additional parking behind and in front of the fence. And that three-bed, two-bath is coming in at $1,795 a month in Pasco. And then out at Horn Rapids, 2641 Torrey Pines. This is a three-bedroom, two-bath, almost 1,400 square foot house. Dog-friendly, accepts dogs. Two-car garage, large open concept living area, lots of natural light. You get access to the Horn Rapids HOA clubhouse and pool. And that's coming in at $1,995. Ooh. So that's our pick three on rentals. We've got some great properties coming available over the course of the next couple of weeks. If somebody was looking for a rental, go to KenmoreTeamPropertyManagement.com and you could check out those properties as they come on the market. Now, Brett, in property management, it's always nice to get a little update about the market and what's going on. But give us a little snapshot of... What are the types of calls you get or owners that call you? Like, what are some of the reasons you're seeing right now in the market where somebody gets a hold of you for professional property management?
Yeah, so we're seeing a couple different things happen. One that comes up almost every day that I get a call from is someone that has to move for a job or whatever the reason is, and they bought a house in 2019, 2020, 2021, and they're in either really low interest rate or they just don't quite have enough equity to sell yet for it to make sense. So they call and they want to rent their property out for 1, 2, 3 years, maybe longer if it works out. And they're looking at the rental option until they either, you know, the market changes a little bit or they get more equity or maybe they just rent it out inevitably. So I'm getting a lot of those calls.
Well, that you bring up a great point, because there's a lot of times people are like, man, I want to own a rental and take advantage of appreciation, but they're getting a job transfer or moving to another town and they say like, okay, I could sell this house in Tri-Cities, and then when I go to try to find a rental property in Dallas or Vegas, my loan's going to be 8%. But wait, I own this one in Tri-Cities at 2.75. And the return on their investment is huge at that. So they just keep it here, put it in property management with us at the Kenmore team. They can move on to their new state. And now they have a rental property that they had such a low mortgage rate on. That totally makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah, big time advantage. And so when people decide to do that, say they're moving out of state or how does that work on the property management side? I mean, how hard is it for them to do that? Or what does that look like? You know, what are landlords traditionally bad at if they self-manage? And like, what's your solution on your side?
Yeah, so one of the things that I often find that what we call accidental landlords are not good at, people that decide to go on this avenue themselves and then we come and take over, is they usually are too nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Which I have tons of people come to me and be like, Brett, I'm too nice. I can't do this anymore. And people are taking advantage of me. Whether that's I have a landlord that doesn't even have a lease or they're like, well, I let them have five dogs and now my house is getting pretty destroyed and I don't know what to do. Or whatever the situation is, that's typically why people hire us. Unfortunately, the fortunate part of our job is to be the bad guy a little bit. We'll come in and at least help them kind of get them back on track. So that is one thing that I come across a lot.
Right. And so that's a good reason for somebody from the beginning to get a hold of you, set up property management, especially if they're moving out of the state mm-hmm. or aren't here to check on it.
Yep.
I know you do inspections and checks and
yep.
and so that helps give somebody peace of mind that they have somebody to contact mm-hmm. in case those things start to happen. Good. What are your other sources? What other situations do you see?
Yeah, we're starting to see, and there's a lot of national headlines of this, and anecdotally, we can kind of confirm this, is we're starting to see a lot of short-term rentals, so I'm talking Airbnbs, VRBOs, start to transition out of that market and into the long-term rental. There's a couple different reasons why we're seeing that, and you can speculate on which one it is, and but first of all, a lot of cities... I think it was Dallas just announced that you can no longer and New York, I think, was another one that kind of did a crackdown on Airbnb and short-term rentals. We're seeing HOAs and cities do that a lot where they're like, hey, you have to have a 30-day lease agreement, a minimum, or 6 months sometimes. Like, there's a lot of HOAs that have a 6-month or year rental minimum. So we're seeing a lot of those start to change. And the other thing we were just talking on the office before I came on the show was, Airbnb is expensive now. Like, the whole thing was to disrupt the
hotel
and hospitality industry. And if you go rent an Airbnb I'm going to Austin in December, it's more than a hotel would be. Plus, you have to clean it sometimes, mm-hmm. or at least do all these extra stuff.
Yeah.
And when you could have just for the same price or oftentimes cheaper, just rent a hotel and not have to worry about any cleaning. I mean, yeah, you get a kitchen maybe, but like, how often do you need that? This is just anecdotal what we're talking about. So we're seeing all these things kind of hit the short-term rental market.
Yep.
And people that are in these are like, well, I got to do something. So let's look at doing a traditional rental now that this is starting to disrupt the short-term rental market.
That makes sense. And so those people are good candidates for longer-term property management like you do. And that totally makes sense in those situations. And then I know on the other side of thing too, sometimes the screening process mm-hmm. up front, you know, having those... knowing what those applications look like, knowing what those preset standards are, mm-hmm. you can probably avoid a lot of problems in the beginning.
Yeah. The screening process is crucial, and that definitely screens out a lot of problems. Honestly, and then the other thing that we do that I firmly believe eliminates 80, 90% of tenant issues is the twice a year walkthrough inspections.
Yeah.
I will stand behind that for the rest of my property management career. If you are not walking through your property, if you are self-managing once a year at a minimum, that's like your biggest mistake. That will solve so many issues because I come across a ton of landlords, again, that come to us when their property becomes vacant from self-managing for 3 or 4 years. And they're like, I don't want to do this again. Whatever the situation was. And if they would have just done a walkthrough once a year, it would have solved a lot of those issues, whatever that was. But it does.
Yeah, because especially if you're in there twice a year, you see landscaping issues that mm-hmm. might pop up,
yep.
maybe slow leaks or damage that you can ask about. How did that happen? Mm-hmm. And you didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
Additional pets is another one. I mean, there's a lot for
cousins
for sure.
And the inspection, I just want to say, doesn't keep the tenants accountable. Well, it does, but it also keeps us as the property management accountable, making sure that we're on top of maintenance and everything that goes on that. So that's another key reason why we do those.
Yeah.
And we do them twice a year. We're doing them starting next week. We do them every October and every May. And I suggest that you do as well. So my biggest piece of advice.
Very good advice. Well, if you have a potential property that you would like managed or some headaches taken away and moved from your plate to Brett's, you know, he's got a fancy new house to pay for. So I'm sure he'd love to do that, as we talked about in the previous segment.
Yeah.
So he's going to be working. He is a worker for sure. Well, folks, go to KenmoreTeam.com if you have any questions like that. Brett, thank you for being on the show. Sharing your story to the rest of us. It's definitely inspiring to me, and I like to see young people like yourself out there really, really thriving in any market. So appreciate that greatly. And folks, we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.